It is January the 30th. Five games on a Thursday night. Only one close one, really. But we've got a couple of rotational changes, some injury updates. Still enough to fill a show, I think. This is the Thursday post-game show. Let's go, balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep Podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are also proudly part of the Old Man Squad Network at Old Man Squad on Twitter. All right, five games. Sorry, I'm just getting the screen set up. On the fifth game has just ended, so we can talk about all games. Not that it was really in any doubt. One injury, only one tonight. I don't know. I'll remember when I go through the games. Let's jump straight into them. Let me just drag up these questions. I did see that Chad fell down some stairs, but you made it. Commitment, we like it. We love dedication to the team. Hopefully you're not watching from the bottom of the stairs. Hopefully you made it to somewhere a little more comfortable and you can enjoy the show. Yes, I am aware of that. Chad, the microphone has been on. Yeah, the button's playing up, so it tells me it's muted and then it's not, and then both ways. So yes, lots of clicks, not too much talking. I'm in the back of the house, but I think I need to get a new mic, so I'm asking around. But yes, thank you for letting me know. Oh, all right. Let's get into the games. First game, Lakers. They must have been on an East Coast trip. Feels like they've had a lot of early games here the last week. They face the Wizards. They defeat the Wizards quite easily, unsurprisingly. Let me just see if the top 10 players for tonight have been updated. Have we got the Blazers players in there? Because I will just go through those top 10 players for the night before we get into the games. All right, past days, we want today. Do we have... We do. All right, let's go through the top 10 players of the night first. Always interesting when there's not many games. Anthony Edwards was number one. Number two, a guy that probably hasn't been on this list all year and will probably not be on the list again for the remainder of the year, Shake Milton, number two. Ty Jerome, number three. Brandon Clark, number four. Rui Hachimura, Scoot Henderson, Amen Thompson, Rudy Gobert, DeAndre Ayton, Jonathan Isaac. Some weird names there. All right, now into the games. Lakers at Washington. Lakers get the victory. This was not the close game. 134-96. 96 points actually flatters the Wizards because they were absolutely disgusting again tonight, as they were the night before. For the Lakers, they really didn't have to do much at all. As I said, Shake Milton. There was no Gabe Vincent here. Obviously, Anthony Davis is out, and they're playing the Wizards. So I would not go buying this performance by Shake Milton at all. He shot whatever 7 of 8 from the field is, 6 of 6 from the line. He had two steals. We'd need to see about a week of this to even consider him, I think. LeBron was fine, but again, there's really not much to talk about other than Jackson Hayes, I think. He started in place of Anthony Davis. Only played 25 minutes. Again, it was a blowout. Maybe this could have been more. 10 and 10, three blocks. That's probably about as good as you could ask for from Jackson Hayes. He should be a relatively good source of rebounds and blocks. Points will be up and down. But we've got at least another couple of games without AD And I think I've talked about the fact that I think he might be out till the All-Star break, maybe. So, yeah, if Jackson Hayes is there, grab him. He won't be phenomenal, but he'll be solid, I think. Max Christie did a little bit more, 13-4-3 with a steal. Again, no AD. There's a bit more to go around, so maybe he is worth picking back up. I didn't talk about Washington last night because of their performance. I don't particularly want to talk about them again tonight. Jordan Poole was better, I suppose. He had 19 points. Kuzma was not. 3 of 14 from the field, 5 of 9 from the line, 13 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 0 steals, 0 blocks. Honestly, if I had him on my team, I think I would consider dropping him. He's just woeful. Yeah, it is a tough one. We know that he is, well, theoretically, he's one of their best offensive players. But the frustration with rostering him must be pretty high right now. I don't have him anywhere, thankfully. And the frustration with Jordan Poole is high enough. I can't imagine Kyle Kuzma. Valanciunas had 5, 3, and 3 in 18 minutes. We talked about streaming him in, and I think that process made sense, but they just got blown out, and so they went with 15 minutes of Rashawn Holmes. I mean, look down here. Vukcevic actually played, and played quite well. I said I'd like to see him out there. He had 9 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. He hit a 3, hit both his free throws. I'd love it if Saar was out, if they just give Vukcevic 27 minutes. I think that'd be good. I think he'd be a nice pickup short term while Alex Saar is out. But that's not going to happen as long as Valanciunas is there, which might only be for another few games anyway. All right, let's go to the next game. Atlanta at Cleveland. Let me just move that there. The Cavs, pretty easy win. The Hawks were bad as well in this one. 115 points flatters them. They just keep shooting threes. I don't know what... I mean, Risa Shea was good. So there's some good here in this performance. But where are we? Where are their threes? Oh, they actually ended up 13 of 39, which wasn't... They were down at about 24% at one point, 7 of 29 or something like that. So they actually shot the ball a little better down the stretch, but still, yeah, that's 7 losses in a row for the Hawks. No Jalen Johnson, as we know, for the season. But we'll start with the good. Zachary Risa-Shea, he had 30 points. He had nothing else, 2 steals. But he is a very empty fantasy player at this point. With no Jalen Johnson, his role is probably a little more secure. But again, 25 minutes, that's not enough for him to be consistent in terms of production. Am I adding him? Yeah, I mean, you could, but the rest of the team was just woeful here other than DeAndre Hunter. So I don't see him repeating this. He's more of a 14, I think, or 16-team league guy. Muhammad Gay, he started here. 8 points, 3 steals, 1 block. So the defensive numbers are good. That's a couple of starts in a row. I think this may have been a little bit matchup-based, just to try and match up size-wise with Cleveland. They didn't want to start Larry Nance because they need him playing the backup center without Clint Capella. Veet Krejci just can't match up size-wise against Cleveland. So if you've got Veet, obviously this is a really bad performance. He fouled out in 21 minutes, 6 points, nothing else. I'd be holding him just to see if I'm right or if I'm wrong, but I do think this was more of a situational thing than what we will see going forward. Trae Young, 5 points, 10 assists, a steal, 2 threes. So, I mean, not terrible, but certainly he has been off of late. And Dyson Daniels, one of his poorer games, 7 and 7, 5 assists, 1 steal. He'll be fine. No need to worry about him. And DeAndre Hunter, I mentioned, 25 points off the bench, 12 of 12 from the line. That really helps your free throw percentages this week. So, yeah, make sure he's rostered. On to Cleveland. They were back to full strength in terms of the starters here and won quite comfortably, so didn't have to extend them beyond about 30 minutes. Mitchell was good. Garland was good. Mobley was good. Struce, He's a streamer, nothing more. Jared Allen, 15 rebounds. Ty Jerome, another strong game from him. Look, yes, he's been good. Grab him if you want to. But again, this took a 9 of 11 shooting performance for him to get to 20 points. And it was against Atlanta, who don't play defense. So it's nice, but I don't see it as something sustainable. And remember, there's no LeVert here. There's no Okoro here. So this is sort of best case, I think, for him. George Niang hit a couple of threes, but, yeah, we're not really looking at the bench here in standard leagues other than maybe Ty Jerome, as long as LeVert and Okoro are out. All right, Minnesota against Utah. Now, Hawks were relatively full. Jazz were relatively healthy here. They trotted out most of their guys, knowing that the Wolves would be actually trying, and lo and behold, the Wolves get the win, 138-113. For the Wolves, let's start with Julius Randle. He played 10 minutes before he left the game. I was actually watching this game as it happened. He went for a drive, scored the basket, but immediately reached for his groin and did notice that it was his right. I think it was his right. Whatever side it was on, I'm sure it was right. He did have compression on. So I don't know whether this was a little tweak, kind of a groin soreness that he came into the game with. No, there was no word of that. But he immediately reached for it and just went straight to the locker room. Never a good sign. When it's an acute injury like that, it wasn't I can feel something, maybe I'll try and run it out. No, I can't. He reached for it. So whether he felt a little ping there, I don't know. No word on that. This is something that could linger. Groin injuries tend to. We've seen players miss weeks with adductor injuries and groin injuries, and we've seen players deal with them for months as well. So I'm not sure how they're going to handle this one. I do envisage an absence for him, which is a shame because he played well in the last game. So what are they going to do? Well, I think we got a pretty good look at what they might do here because he did get injured relatively early in the game. And it is that Naz Reid will play at the four a lot more, which helps Naz Reid. It helps Rudy Gobert. And then with Naz Reid sort of coming in, they're going to play a little bit more of Luka Garza. So he'll probably just be in the rotation, which he played 14 minutes tonight. I don't think you need to go and add him, although he did have 16 points. He's not going to do that again in 14 minutes. They played Utah. So I'm not adding Luka Garza. Keep an eye on him. Make sure Naz Reid is rostered. I'm assuming he is. He had 12 points. He had 4 assists, 4 rebounds and a steal. Those 12 points came in about 4 minutes. He just hit like 4 threes in a row and then did nothing else. Didn't even shoot the ball again. We had no Mike Conley here, so Nickeil Alexander-Walker started. He had 15 and 5, 4 rebounds, 1 steal. If Conley misses time, I would be adding Nickeil Alexander-Walker and I would be considering Rob Dillingham. He had 19 and 8 with 1 steal in 23 minutes. I was watching him play, and obviously we haven't seen a ton of him this year. Good scorer. Like he can score the basketball. He looks like he's about 12. I was watching him and going, man, this dude looks young. And I think he's just turned 20 maybe, but he looks really, really young. Just an observation, really. Jaden McDaniels came back to earth. We knew this was coming. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 0 steals, 0 blocks, 0 threes. The productive run lasted longer than we're used to. Based on that, I would hold him. I wouldn't just drop him after one poor game. I would probably give him 2 to 3. If after 3 he's just doing this, then you can move on. Gobert, as I said, he gets a bump with this Randle injury because he will just have to play more. 16 and 9, 5 assists, 4 blocks. So a nice night for him, which, again, against Utah, not surprising. Let's look at Utah. They were healthy. Walker Kessler returned from his shoulder injury, although he had no strapping, nothing on his shoulder, which I would have thought if you were coming in with a shoulder injury that's cost you a couple of games. Anyway, 2 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. Not a good night for him. 1 of 6. I do like to think that Rudy Gobert probably takes these matchups a little bit personally because of all the talk around the trade. The Jazz won the trade. They got this young Walker Kessler. He's better than Rudy Gobert. So, yeah, I do think that Gobert probably takes this matchup in particular a little bit personally. But Kessler will be fine as long as he's healthy. We don't know if he's going to be healthy every game. John Collins also returned. Didn't look like someone coming off an illness. Funny about that. 16 and 5, 2 blocks, 1 steal. He is a hold as long as he's healthy. Lauri Markkanen had 15 and 2 with a block. You hold him as long as he's healthy. But Markkanen, Collins, Kessler, they're probably all going to miss a game in the next 2 or 3. Collier started 11-7. His sort of defensive abilities still aren't translating too well to fantasy, but he is a hold because he's getting assists and the scoring has been okay. He is much better, I think, offensively when he has Markkanen, Collins, Sexton, Keontae George, Jordan Clarkson, because he can be far more selective with his shots. He's not going to have the opportunity to put up 20 points, but he will shoot most nights, I would think, better from the field. So I would be holding him. Colin Sexton had 19 and 5. We hold him. Keontae George, 23 and 3. Perfect from the field. You don't often see that from Keontae George, but you take it. Only 27 minutes, though. So he was the third guard in the rotation here, and Jordan Clarkson had 16 points in his 25 minutes. We just need to wait till the trade deadline here to see who is moved, if anyone is moved. Collins, Sexton, and Clarkson would be my three. I think if I had to pick three here that might be traded, it's probably those three. All right, fourth game, Houston at Memphis. Very good game, very entertaining. 120 to Memphis, 119 to Houston. Yeah, some interesting plays down the stretch for Houston here. They were down by one, so they only needed a two-pointer to tie it up with 8 seconds, and they ran a play for a Fred VanVleet three. Fred VanVleet, who had shot 4 of 12 from the field, where you've got Amen Thompson, Dylan Brooks, who was shooting the ball well, other options here, and you didn't even need a three. So I guess that just highlights the state of the NBA at the moment, where teams would rather threes, because to me, I would get Amen Thompson going downhill at the basket here. Anyway, they lost the game. Amen Thompson was good, 21, 7 and 4, 1 steal, 4 blocks. Dylan Brooks back on track. He's been a really good 3-point streamer of late. Steven Adams started with no Pren Şengün. He had 10 rebounds. If you picked him up for rebounds, then you're pretty happy. Jock Landale did play as the backup, but they also went small down the stretch. So Tari Eason actually closed this game. He had 13 and 12. No defensive stats, but he was a little more involved here, which was good. But that we look at the fact that Şengün was out, that probably was a large factor there. And Jayshon Tate, unsurprisingly, after scoring 16 points with 4 steals in the last game, he had 1 point on 0 of 2 shooting with 1 steal in 11 minutes. For Memphis, Jaren Jackson hit the winning free throws in this one. No blocks, but a solid performance. There was no Ja Morant, who was out again with a shoulder concern. And it was Luke Kennard who moved into the starting lineup. 22 points, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 threes. Appears he's moved ahead of Scottie Pippen in the rotation. So if and when Ja is out, we want Kennard on our roster. That could change. There's nothing to say that Pippen in the next game that Ja misses won't play 25 minutes. He only played 12 in this one. Jalen Wells, 11 points. He's just a back-end points streamer, I think, or a soft hold. The center rotation continues to be interesting. Zach Edey, only 17 minutes. He started, and I assume will continue to start. 5 points, 2 rebounds, 0 blocks. We don't need to be holding him, I don't think. Honestly, I think I'd rather have Brandon Clark. I know he's coming off the bench and I know his minutes are a little bit up and down, but he's more versatile. He had 13 and 5 here with 3 steals and 2 blocks and played 31 minutes. There were some factors at play here, the matchup kind of thing, no Şengün, the Rockets going small. So Memphis went small with Brandon Clark at center. People, anyone that follows me knows I love Brandon Clark as a player. I think he could be really good. He hasn't been unlocked yet. I don't know if we'll ever get there. Athletically, if you count him as a center, I think he's more of a power forward. But if you count him as a center, I'd argue that he's probably the most athletic center in the NBA. So we'll see. I picked him up in a couple of leagues today. I figured he was going to play good minutes. And he's been on and off a lot of my rosters this season. If someone is coming off my IR and I have to drop someone, I drop Brandon Clark because I know no one is picking him up. And I can just go and add him again, which I did today. And I needed field goal percentage and I needed defensive stats. And I got both of those. Aldama had 15 and 5 with 2 blocks in his 26 minutes. He's, again, another really good streamer on nights like this. And let's go to the final game. Ooh, what happened to my screen there? Hang on. Here we go. It's because this game just finished. All right. Orlando at Portland. 119 to 90. Portland get the win. Orlando are in struggle town right now. Paolo was fine. Franz was fine. Anthony Black was not. We talked about him being a stream or an ad with Suggs out, and I think, again, that process was correct. He was trash. 0 points. Drop him. Go and add someone else. That's fine. Caldwell Pope, drop him. No reason to be holding him. Cole Anthony, he had 16 points off the bench, but if we remember back, when was their last game? 48 hours ago. He was terrible. So I don't think you need to hold him either. Suggs, I think he's close. So he could be back in the next game. The center rotation is what we want to look at here, though. Let's start with Jonathan Isaac. So he played 16 minutes. He had 3 steals and 2 blocks. He's just a defensive streamer, I think, at this point. Goga moved back into the starting lineup, which is great. 18 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds, a steal and a block. Wendell Carter had 12 and 7 with a steal in 25 minutes. So on the surface, not ideal for Goga. The fact that Carter played, 7 more minutes than him is not great. I wouldn't worry too much. I do think this was a little bit of just a matchup. He was being outplayed by Ayton. Orlando were out of the game. They were probably just trying things. So he's only 2 games back since a concussion. So the fact that he started to me is the bigger takeaway here. I would give him another 2 to 3 games before if he starts and he plays 20 minutes a night, he probably will be a drop. But if he pushes back up into 25, 28 minutes, then I think we're good to go. On to the Portland side of the equation. They've won, I think, 6 of their last 7 now. I'm sure that's what I read. Where are we? Let's have a look at. So whether this is by accident, and they've had some good wins too. They've beaten the Magic twice. They beat the Bucks. They beat the Bulls, I think. Where are we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 6 of their past 7. So they beat the Bucks, the Magic twice, the Hornets, that's nothing. The Heat, that's nothing. And the Bulls. So, yeah, some good wins. They're playing well. Look, I'll give credit where it's due. DeAndre Ayton was good in this one. 22 points, 8 rebounds. 3 assists, 3 steals. I thought he had a block as well, but they didn't record it here. I remember him having a block early in the game. Shot 10 of 12 from the field. This was part of the reason I think Goga didn't play a lot. Ayton was just scoring at will. And look, I'm again, credit where credit is due. Ayton, I've never denied that he's their best center. It's just that his attitude and his effort when they're losing is not great. He, even in this game, defensively, he made some really bad reads. It didn't matter. But, if we knew he was going to play most of the games and play 30-plus minutes, he's obviously a must-roster player. But I have no confidence in it at all. But it was a good game. Denny Avdija was not at his best, only 25 minutes here. Shaedon Sharpe was just playing really well off the bench, so they went with him. Tumani Kamara didn't have to do a lot here. He's still a very, very clear hold. Scoot Henderson started. Jeremy Grant was out with the ankle injury, so that's why he moved into the starting lineup. played really well, 23, 5 and 7, 2 steals, 6 of 6 from the line, 3 of 5 from 3. This is why he's a hold, because this is what we can get from him if and when Jeremy Grant moves on, or they trade like a Simons, or they just decide to go with their young guys. I'd be very happy with this starting lineup moving forward. If they can't move Ayton, I think Klingon comes in eventually as the starter. But this would be fine. Shaden Sharpe off the bench playing 33 minutes. No Jeremy Grant is much better for my mental health and for my life. So I liked their rotation tonight. We will see. The next game could look completely different, as we know. All right, let's get to some very quick questions. All right, why did Scoot start? Yeah, that was because of Grant. Yep. We do hope chat is okay. Hopefully the stairs are okay. Everyone's okay. Shining Knight is confused by Goga's role. Yeah, look, it was a little bit confusing, to be fair, tonight. But as I said, I think the fact that he started for me is the bigger takeaway. Yes, my mic was on. We determined that. Lots of clicks. Yeah, looks, that's how busy I am setting up the show. All the behind-the-scenes stuff, there's really not much. It's just me getting Windows ready. Bronny. I don't want to talk about Bronny. He did play more minutes. Coloco, yeah, look, they just didn't have to run him tonight. They won so comfortably against this Washington team that it just wasn't required. Where is Coloco? Yeah, 7 minutes. He could get more in the next game. Depends who they're up against. You dropped Kuz for a men in week 3. Yeah, God. That looks like a massive win, doesn't it, now? Goga or Nick Richards in a 9-cat? I'd probably still go Goga, I think, at this point. Give it another couple of games and then I might switch, but I still think Goga has far more upside. Ernest, planning your ads and drops for trade deadline week. Would I rank Tobias, Keontae, Shaden Sharpe in that order for players to drop? So I'm assuming you mean Tobias at number one to drop. Yeah, look, I wouldn't be dropping Shaden Sharpe. The Jeremy Grant injury helped him tonight, but it's probably Tobias. I think he's probably got the lowest ceiling but the highest floor, if that makes sense. He's sort of locked into that top 80, top 90, sort of through to top 110 range, where the others, I think, could be better. Lone Des, should you drop Valanciunas for Jalen Smith? I'm okay with that. Valanciunas is pretty hit or miss. The Wizards are terrible. They could move him. Saar will come back at some point. Again, Smith is one of those stash names that we're talking about. Ernest dropped a men in week 2 to stream. Yeah. I spoke with Josh a bit about a men this morning, actually, and the fact that I was arguably one of the highest on him this season. I was taking him inside the top 100, inside the top 90 in a lot of leagues, which was higher than most. It wasn't because I thought he'd do this. I'm not going to claim that I knew he would do this, but he fitted my build and I just thought he needed 25 minutes to have value in my specific builds, and it's turned out really well, obviously. So that's good. What have we got here? All right, another one from Ernest. How would we rank the following waiver wire ads for rest of season standard leagues? Yabusele, Hawkins, Jalen Smith, Case and Wallace. Assuming Vooch and Ingram get traded. Rest of season. I think Case and Wallace is the safest because he already has the role. Yabusele, look, he requires Embiid to be out, obviously. And we assume Embiid will come back at some point, but maybe he only plays 10 more games all year. Hawkins, I'm not convinced on Hawkins. I know they could get some injuries, they could get some trades. He's quite empty. He's just points and threes, nothing else. I'd probably go Wallace. Wallace, Smith, Yabusele, Hawkins. I definitely have Wallace first. I think he's just the safest. Jalen Smith, like we know, a little bit of a risk. He's not going to give you great numbers. He's probably the worst of the four at the moment. But rest of season, even if Vooch isn't traded, although it's the Bulls, they're probably going to try and get that ninth spot, aren't they? Yeah, that is the worry for me with Jalen Smith, is that this is the Bulls, and if they don't move Vooch, I just don't know if they'll rest him or limit him. I think that they'll just push for a home playing game and be happy with that. And not a question from Steve. He's just sad. You lost JJ and LaMelo, and you have Quickly and Chet. Well, Quickly is questionable tomorrow, so maybe that'll put a smile on your face. He could return tomorrow. LaMelo, yeah, that's sad. And Jalen Johnson is the saddest, obviously. Chinchilla is sad for you, so we're all sad for Steve. Chinchilla lost Miller, Quickly, JJ, and Melo, plus Monk and Amen just before they went nuclear. Do we consider adding Okogie, Risa-Shea, Yabusele, or Bruce Brown? So I just did a waiver wire article, which will come out tomorrow, I think. Did I finish it? No, I haven't. I've got to write about Shaden Sharp. But Okogie was in that article. I think we add Okogie. I don't know if he stays in Charlotte, but if he does, I think he's probably top 100 rest of season. Risa-Shea, I contemplated putting him in the article. I didn't. I know he scored 30 today, but it was very empty. And other guys just weren't playing well. So, yeah, I mean, he's been in a pretty significant role most of the season, hasn't done a lot with it. Yabusele relies on injuries, which, of course, he's getting. Bruce Brown has looked good. He's a little bit like Okogie. 25 minutes plus, he's probably an ad. Does he stick where he is? I don't know. What does it look like beyond that? I don't know. So I'd consider adding Okogie and Bruce Brown. Yabusele is more of a, yeah, okay, let's add him until at least Drummond is back, and then Embiid, of course, we would drop. And Risa-Shea, yeah, pretty low ceiling, I think. What have we got? Yeah, this is weird in Portland that they're beating teams. They're beating anyone, not just good teams, but they're winning games. So, yeah, look, mate, I mean, we're assuming they want to tank, and I think they still do. But if they're, I mean, well, hang on, I'd have the standings here. Where are we? So, 1, 2... Yeah, I mean, they've still got the third worst record in the West, 39 and 1, 2, 3, 4. So, yeah, they're actually up to eighth worst record in the league now. So, yeah, surprising. Like, I would have thought they'd be rather down in that bottom five or bottom four. I mean, we could see a change, of course. But, yeah, it has been interesting to watch them winning. What is my favourite thing on that shelf back there? I'd have to have a look what's on there. We got rid of a lot of board games. My wife made me. It's probably... what have I got there? So it's probably my... I have Lord of the Rings DVD Trivial Pursuit, which no one in my house will play with me. And I have... And probably Seinfeld Cluedo. So I have the Seinfeld edition of Cluedo as well, which we have played. Did I see that the Kings are sniffing around John Collins? I did. What is my real job? I'll get to that. I'll do that one at the end because we'll get through these ones quickly. I did see the All-Star Reserves. Who were the snubs? Oh, look, there's some obvious ones. Sabonis, I put up something about Şengün and Jalen Williams earning their spot, and some doofuses came back at me and said, oh, they shouldn't have got in. Sabonis should have got in. Well, yeah, I'm not saying Sabonis shouldn't have got in. I'm just saying Şengün deserved to get in. And then they fire back numbers at me. And I'm like, do you understand that the All-Star voting is not based on production? They look at team record. They look at all sorts of things. And the Kings have not been great. I know they've been better. But Sabonis, look, the numbers are always there. He gets assists. He gets rebounds. But, yeah, I was okay with Şengün making it over him. I do think that if it had been the other way around, I would have been fine as well. So he was probably one. In the East, I think there were some guards. I think Tyrese Maxey was very unlucky. Trae Young, LaMelo Ball. They were probably the three that came to mind for me. But that's not to say the guards that made it didn't deserve it. Even Tyler Hero, who people know I don't particularly like, I had him in my All-Star team. So, yeah, I think he deserved to make it. So, again, it's probably a situation where I do think some players missed out, but there's only 12 spots. So that argument for should we have 15 spots per team, I think it's a pretty real one. It's valid. The issue then is running an all-star rotation of 15 points, but I've talked about how I think they should do that, and that is split the all-star teams into four, have 14 and 14, two teams of seven, and you run like they did with the all-star, the rising stars thing where you have four teams and they play and the two teams play in the final. I think they should do that in the all-star game, do exactly the same thing, run four teams of seven. Team A in the West play Team A in the East, vice versa, or B and B. First to 40 or something, or a 20-minute time limit, then you play a final. I just think that'd be more fun, and you get to see with a rotation of seven players, they're going to have to play. So you would see 10 or 15 minutes of everyone. Anyway, that's me. Veet or Keon Ellis, 12-team 9-cat. Peyton or Tyus Jones, 12-team 9-cat. Veet or Keon Ellis? Peyton or Tyus Jones? Oh, I'd probably go... man, that's tough. I still want to say Veet. I know today wasn't great, but I do think that was he fouled out and it was a bad matchup. So I might just lean Veet slightly right now. Obviously, that could change in a week. Peyton or Tyus Jones? Do you need assists or points? If you need points, go Peyton. If you need assists, go Tyus Jones. Chad, the more you read, the more you're concerned Cam Johnson isn't getting moved. Yeah, I don't know. The Nets are asking for a lot, so the chatter has sort of died down a bit. I'm sure there are still a lot of teams interested, but it's whether they want to pay what the Nets want. So, yeah, look, this is trade deadline week. We're going to hear all these rumors. Yes, I am almost 100% sure that success is why we're seeing more Ayton. As I said, the only season I've seen him play engaged and wanting to be out there is when Phoenix made the finals. Other than that, he doesn't care. So I'm not surprised at all that when they're featuring him offensively and they can have him out there because his defense is not as much of a liability, he is engaged. So they would need to keep winning, I think, for him to stick at this kind of production. What trade do I think is more likely to happen, Butler or Fox? I think Fox is probably more likely. If AD's strain is worse than anticipated in out long term, is Jackson Hayes the ad? Over back-end bigs like Richards, Goga, Yabusele. Yeah, I don't think it's a month. If it is, though, reading comments. Would I have Jackson Hayes over any of those guys? I wouldn't have him over Goga. Richards is close. They're pretty similar. I think they're both low-end double-doubles with a couple of blocks. Yabusele, yeah, he's sort of the different one there, or the odd one out, because he stretches the floor a bit. He's not a rim protector. So there's a little bit of a difference in terms of skills there. So I wouldn't have him over Goga. Richards, I think you could. I think it's sort of 50-50, but I guess Richards is going to have this role rest of season, we assume, where Jackson Hayes would only have it until AD is back. And do remember that AD has sort of been very vocal about the fact that he wants the team to bring a center on board. So while Jackson Hayes is starting now, in a week he might not be. All-star chatter. Jalen Williams over Kyrie and Booker is pretty crazy. Look, again, I think that's a situation where I think Jalen Williams deserves to be in there and people have got to miss out. I think that's part of that is just the Thunder, I think, had to have two players. I know it's not a written rule, but I think it's an unwritten rule that the top one or two teams in each conference should have a couple of players. I think that's why there's three Cavs in there. I'm glad Jalen Williams made it, but I could absolutely see Kyrie and Booker in there as well. Bradley asks, would I rather Klingon or Smith down the silly season, barring any trades? I don't think Klingon needs trades. I think he will just play more minutes as we progress. Smith absolutely needs a trade, I think, because as I said, the Bulls just will push for that mediocrity. That's what they do. So I'd probably rather Klingon in terms of assured role in a month or 2 months. So I think I'd go Klingon. Shining Knight dropped Ayton earlier this year when he was having one of his moody stretches. You feel kind of bad, but it's okay. Yeah, look, it's okay. He has been good, but like I said, I don't see this sticking. Chad just talking about the fact that Hayes may not be the starter if they do bring a center on board. Was Nurk actually good last year? Debating if he's worth if he gets traded and plays 30. If he gets traded and plays 30, yes, he's worth it. He was fine last year. Let me bring up his numbers. Okay, is this going to load up? Okay, Jusuf Nurkić last year was the 113th ranked player. 11 points, 11 rebounds, one steal, one block. And that's what he does. He's a double-double his big hands get in the way and he gets about a steal a game. He's not a good defender, but he's a little bit like James Harden. Luka's a little bit like that. Just these players that seem to fall into some defensive stats. Nurk is one of those. He will get you a steal and a block and a double-double. So that's what he brings. If he plays 30 minutes, he would be a must-roster player. I just don't know who he's going to bring him on and play 30 minutes. So he's Nick Richards. To some degree, he is Nick Richards. He's not as athletic and probably not as good a shot blocker as Richards, but gets the steals. So their combined defensive stats are probably similar, around two. But it's more like a 1-1 split for Nurk, and Richards is sort of 1.5 and 0.5 steals. So slightly different, but overall stats are pretty similar, yeah. Let's go to Yuri. Where is Yuri? I saw a question there. Okay, Yuri's question, what is my real job? I think I've talked about this previously, potentially. So my real job, what I do during the day, is it's not a center as such, but I run the autism center in the state that I live in. So I work with families, I work with schools, I work with workplaces, businesses. I go in, I do a lot of training with families and employers and that sort of thing, and talk to them about how to make workspaces more inclusive. I work with families to help them, just give them a better understanding of autism, neurodiversity, what it means. So I do a lot of talking. I'll do 6-hour workshops, 3-hour workshops with 500 people online, face-to-face. So a lot of training. I go into a lot of schools. In three, four weeks, I think, I've got to go down to near where Josh lives, so about 5 hours to a school, and I'm going to basically be thrown into a school for a week to work with the teachers and support some kids and families down there. So I do a lot of that stuff, and I do social groups. So we have people that attend our center and do Dungeons and Dragons, and I run a Lego group. So that's my day job. That's what I do. I help autistic people, autistic families, and just the community, the wider community, I suppose. I do complain about coming to work because it doesn't let me do as much fantasy as I'd potentially like to do. But I do love my day job as well. I mean, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it. I'd go and do something else. But no, I enjoy going to work. Well, I enjoy it once I'm there. And I get to work from home from time to time as well, which is good. I appreciate that shining night. Yes, I do like I just like helping people. And that's why I do this as well, just to help people. And thank you to Yuri as well. And it sounds like I'm going to see Yuri in Vegas maybe. What do I make of the Knicks being willing to trade Mitch Robb but be interested in Yabusele? It's sort of a weird one. Like, they've stuck with Mitch Robinson for so long through all these injuries, and now they're willing to part with him. I think just bringing in Cat, Mitchell Robinson, they viewed him as their starting center. He was the guy they needed. That's why they stuck with him. They now have Cat. They don't need him. I think they've got. I don't know if they see. If they're worried about Mitch Robinson in terms of him coming back, like, he'll come back, but ongoing injuries is an issue. Like, this is not a new thing. I just think that their mindset has probably shifted a little bit. Yabusele is a very good backup center and plays. He's like a mini version of Cat, I suppose. He can stretch the floor. He's not as good a rebounder. He's a bit undersized, but he would slot into what they're trying to do a little bit more. Taylor Gluckner? Have to drop one of Collier or Scoot in a 10-team league. Who would I keep? Ooh. I think I'd keep Scoot. I just think he's a little more polished than Collier. At the moment, Collier is just assists, really. Scoot is... has far more upside in points, threes, assists are sort of comparable, and he gets steals. So I'd definitely go Scoot there, I think. Recent actions by a certain billionaire being blamed on his self-diagnosed autism. I read all those articles. A part of my role as well is that and I'm sure there's probably services like this in the US and wherever, whatever country people are living in. We help run the National Autism. Look at this, plugging my day job. We help run the National Autism sort of information support line. So we get, and I'm often on, well, I'm on that most days for a few hours, and we get calls from families and people. It's well over 1,000 inquiries a month. Occasionally we do get people calling and saying, I was told vaccines gave my son autism. There's some interesting people out there. It's not surprising at all. Leap tall buildings. No, I'm too old to do that. God. It's a struggle even to get out of this chair when I'm finished my show. Kittens up a tree would be easier. I'm more of a cat person than a dog person too, to be fair. I do have two cats. I've never really had a dog. I've had cats all my life. So, nothing against dogs. My parents have dogs and I love their dog, but more of a cat person. All right, that'll do. That was a bit longer than I anticipated for only 5 games. Tomorrow, pre-game show and trade talk with Noah. So trade talk will be at 3 p.m. Eastern. Pre-game show will probably be after that. And then normal post-game continue going on. There will be a night next week where there won't be a post-game show because I'll be at the movies, but it's Monday, so it'll be Sunday's games. There won't be a Sunday post-game show. And yes, thank you, Chad. Go and like that old man squad trade deadline show. Dan is pushing really hard to get us to 750. I think we're at 7. I think we're over 700. Hang on. I can check. Old man squad, where are we? Trade deadline show. Can I look? No, I need to go into it. Have a look. We're at 7:28. We're close. 22. If there's 22 people in this watching me, StreamYard tells me there's almost 400. So if 22 of you have not gone in and liked, pre-liked the trade deadline show, please go and do that. It should. I'm hoping it's a fun one. I'm hoping there's a lot of trades. We're starting about 3 hours, I think, before the trade deadline. So we should have a lot to talk about to start the show. It'll be Dan and David Williams first because it's just a little bit early for me, 3 a.m. I think that's when he's starting. Actually, what time is he starting the show? I can tell people. Noon Eastern, which is 4 a.m. for me. So, yes, that's a little bit early. I will aim to be up at probably 5 a.m. That day. The actual deadline is 3 p.m. Eastern, I believe, which is 7 a.m. for me. So, yeah, I'm hoping there's plenty to talk about. I'm hoping we get some good trades, some impactful trades, and not just some nobodies moving around and draft picks. It would be good to actually get Zach LaVine and De'Aaron Fox and Jimmy Butler and these guys on the move, Nikola Vucevic. But we will see. We will see. I'm sure we'll get plenty of rumors over the next few days. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Do go and do that pre-like stuff. I will be back tomorrow for two shows. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.